Okay. Alright. You're listening to Free Radio Olympia 98.5 FM. I have Christina on the line, who is a friend and supporter of Chris McIntosh, who is currently about to be sentenced to 8 to 10 years in federal penitentiary. Christina, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us about Chris, what kind of a person he is, and what's going on with him?
Yeah, I'll tell you about his court case. First of all, let me just say he's like one of the many animal rights activists being arrested today. And the federal government designated animal rights groups as domestic terrorists. His affidavit was written by Brian Carnell, the special agent with the FBI assigned to the domestic terrorism squad in Seattle. And it states that on January 20th in 2003, around 1 a.m., Chris McIntosh maliciously damaged and attempted to damage and destroy by means of fire and explosive materials a McDonald's restaurant across from the Space Needle in Seattle. And the next morning at 10:39 a.m., the Seattle arson tip line received a voicemail stating that the McDonald's fire was claimed by the ELF and the ALF. There's evidence of prints on a can of spray paint and DNA on sunglasses that match Chris McIntosh, and there were some witnesses also. He was arrested after the FBI agent followed him around for 2 years, and February 16th he was arrested in Philadelphia, and then he was transferred to FDC C-Tech in Seattle. And they charged him with arson. They threatened to charge him with being an eco-terrorist if they found that he used a destructive device in the arson, and that would give him a minimum sentence of 30 years plus 5 years for arson. So he signed a plea agreement in September for 8 to 10 years. And basically, I'm doing the Chris McIntosh West Coast support tour right now, going around and just telling everybody about his sentencing date on December 16th at 1:30 at the federal courthouse, and trying to gather up supporters to come out.
What's that going to be like at the sentencing?
Excuse me?
What's the sentencing going to be like?
Oh, that's a good question. He's actually the first friend I've ever had in jail, so I have no idea either. I'm supposed to be with his lawyer, and I'm going to ask him about that then. I just want to, like, pack the courtroom, and I have no idea what the size is, so I'm trying to get everyone to show up if they can. And actually, Chris is probably listening from jail right now. One of the first things he was able to get with his supporters' donations was a radio, and he might be listening right now.
If we go that far. I'm curious, how was the fire set in this McDonald's?
How the fire started?
Yeah.
I think the affidavit said it was like 2 gallons or 3 gallons of gasoline. It's not really specific.
And so the
materials were used.
So how much damage was the McDonald's completely destroyed?
No, actually like $5,000 worth of damage to the roof. So that's probably like a burn mark on the roof. No one was injured. I read that the flames were 20 feet in the air, and the fire department showed up around 1:50, and I think it started at 1. It's just ridiculous that he would get 8 to 10 years for $5,000 worth of property damage.
So has Chris stated why he did this action, and what were the reasons behind it?
The phone call that was related to animal rights activism. I can probably look up a quote for you from him right now. He wrote like a statement for me to read at the conference Beyond Bars last Saturday. It's pretty long. Do you mind if I read the whole thing?
Yeah, go for it.
It's like a page long. This is directly from Chris. In the wake of the thriving empire and its imperialistic overtures, this decade's political climate has become ever more oppressive. We have seen the rebirth of programs targeted against anyone with a dissenting opinion. The label of terrorist is now applied liberally, even to actions that only threaten profits. They call it interfering with interstate commerce. We have long known that a loss of profits terrorizes the system more than a loss of human lives. Humans are merely a tool with which to reap those profits. We are easily replaceable. In light of this, we need to make choices in our daily lives to free ourselves, first in our hearts and minds, and then looking outward at what we can each do daily in the physical realm. In this way, we've risen in solidarity to become an obvious threat to the power structure. When they stop putting the heat on, it means something's going right. Sometimes it may not seem that way, and the effects may hurt us. No one likes prison. No one wants to lose their life or live under the constant hammering of police repression. But I ask those of you who crave freedom, do we have a choice? While I miss loving touch and good times on the outs, the truth is, the whole system has become, or rather has always been, a prison. It will be like this until the last vestiges of civilization have been dismantled. We've come to the point where we really don't have any time left. In that spirit, I made my choice, just one in a larger project. My heart goes out to my brothers and sisters who have made similar choices and find themselves incarcerated in 2006. I give my thanks to those who are supporting us. Finally, I do not regret my decision. I regret that our species has sunk to caging fellow animals, human and non-human, and destroying the earth, making those decisions necessary. I will do my best to continue the struggle from wherever I am. I thank you all. For Earth and Animal Freedom, Chris McIntosh.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, he just sent that in the last month.
Can you talk about why he took a plea bargain?
Well, the threat of 30 to 35 years minimum is a pretty harsh sentence, and he's only 23 years old. So I would say that would be why.
Can you talk more about how the terrorism label gets applied here and how that justifies 30 more year minimum?
Yeah, I have the legal explanation from his plea agreement. The parties recognize that Section 3A1.4 of the sentencing guidelines provides dramatic increases in sentencing ranges for federal crimes of terrorism. So, because it would be labeled eco-terrorism, that's why the increase goes up to 30 years. Supports the applicability of upward departures in the case of offenses intended to coerce government or civilian populations. In addition, the defendant acknowledges that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives has determined that defendant used a destructive device in connection with the arson. Although defendant disputes the factual basis for this conclusion and denies that he used a destructive device, in the event a jury were to find that defendant did so, he would be subject to a 30-year mandatory minimum sentence for using a destructive device and a crime of violence under 924C.
Is that part of the Patriot Act or not?
That's a good question. I don't know.
So you mentioned...
There's also the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act that other animal rights activists have been charged with, but he wasn't charged with that.
Would you be willing to explain that real quick?
I'm not sure what the minimum sentence is for that, but that's basically, say, charging someone with eco-terrorism as well. I just know that the 924C is different from the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act.
So you mentioned that there was witnesses. Was that part of the reason that he took this plea bargain and other evidence that you mentioned?
Yeah, I would assume so. There was a witness that saw a male climbing down a ladder off of the roof at the time it happened, and then also two of his ex-girlfriends were interviewed by the FBI. One said that she was a lookout for him and that she was there when he made the phone call the next morning, and the other said that he told her about the arson about a month after it happened.
Are any of these ex-girlfriends being charged with anything?
No.
So how is Chris dealing with all this, being in prison and being only 23 years old and facing such a stiff sentence?
Well, he's had a little bit of experience in jail before, so it wasn't as traumatizing as it would be for someone who it was the first time being arrested. But he has been in the hole most of the time that he's been in, and he hasn't had phone privileges the entire time. He was arrested in February, so it's been almost 10 months. He hasn't had any visitors. Only family is allowed to visit, and his family and I, we all live on the East Coast in New Jersey. So it's hard for them to get out to see him. Actually, I flew in on Friday, and right after I got out of the airport, I went directly to SeaTac because it was pretty close. And I went in and talked to the guy at the front desk, and I asked him if he could just tell me, like, where he was located in the building. But he said, no, that's a breach of security. So I just stood in the parking lot for a little while, trying to, like, send positive vibes through the walls, and... yeah. I couldn't believe there was just, like, this concrete wall, you know, separating us, and I couldn't give him a hug.
So how have people supported Chris since he's been in prison?
There's been amazing support, actually. I was not really involved in the animal rights community before this. And I was very surprised at how much people who don't even know anything about him just made up flyers and pamphlets for him, did fundraising. They asked me if I wanted to start a support campaign, and I knew nothing about that, so they helped me. We set up a P.O. box, a bank account, a website, an email list, email for people to contact us at. I screen printed some T-shirts for people to wear in court and for fundraising, and someone put together a zine of his writing and artwork that's being printed right now. That's amazing work.
So what got you involved in this personally?
Because I'm friends with him. I met him in April 2004. He lived in my house for a short time last July. But I haven't seen him in about a year. Last time I saw him was last December.
How can other people help Chris?
There's a website, supportchris.org. Writing to him, sending books, sending like any donation, no matter how small. He's vegan and he's eating these unflavored soy pellets, so he has to like buy most of the food that he wants. He went on hunger strike in September. They lasted 5 days until FCC CTAC administration said that they would force feed him, so he had to go off of the hunger strike. So he has to buy most of his food from the commissary. So even if people can send like $5, that's really helpful. And definitely coming out December 16th to the federal courthouse at 1:30 would be really amazing for him to see everybody there to support him.
So are you trying to organize people to be like fill the courthouse for this?
Yes, definitely. That's why I'm out here. I'm out here for 2 weeks, and everyone I talk to, I'm telling them please come to the courthouse.
So why would it be important like to fill the courthouse? Would that affect his sentencing, do you think?
I'm not sure what kind of effect it would have on the judge or the lawyers, but hopefully it would be a positive one. Mostly I think that it would be very positive for Chris to see people there since he hasn't seen anyone since February.
So in other ways, what other ways can people help Chris?
They can purchase a shirt at the courthouse to wear there, and a zine. You can get them at West Bank Books and probably other locations soon, or online at supportchris.org. You can email for one.
And what other contact info do you have for the support group?
SupportChris@riseup.net is the email address. If anybody has any questions, they can email that.
And the website address?
The website is supportchris.org, and that has all the address information for the P.O. Box for anonymous donations. And if you want to write him a letter, there's the address for that. And if you want to send him books or money to his commissary account, there's a different address for that.
Cool. Do you have anything you'd like?
Sorry, I'm outside on the street and someone just peeled out.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add before we go tonight?
Just everyone meditate for a minute and send Chris your positive energy to FCC CTAC, and please get in contact with me by emailing and telling me if you can come to the courthouse and if you have any questions. My name's Christina, and thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on the program, Christina.
Thanks for getting in touch.